So we will be saying for the next 50 days, we are an Easter people, but what precisely does it mean to be an Easter person? Now, granted, on a day like this, blue sky, puffy clouds, it's a little brisk out there. The Easter bunny's got a little extra poof on the end to keep them warm today. But it's not hard to be an Easter person in that kind of weather. But we don't really live there, do we? And so Easter is really not about a feeling, although it's nice to have that feeling of Easter, but it's about faith. And the crazy thing about Christians is that we celebrate things we can't see. So what's the major image today that we hear about in the gospel? An empty tomb. An empty tomb. And so the women went there. The women are always on time, always in charge of things, more faithful than most. And they went and they go, oh my God, where'd he go? And so they ran back and told Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John. He ran the fastest, okay? And they went to the tomb, and what did they find? Nothing. So in a sense, that's what we celebrate today, is nothing. We celebrate the absence. It's easy to celebrate stuff we can see. It's not easy to celebrate stuff that we can't. And so the thing that I want us to reflect upon a little bit this morning is simply this. What does it mean to be an Easter person? It's the second half of this little line that we're saying, and Alleluia is our song. That's the deal, is how do we keep Alleluia as our song? So it's easy to do that when things are going well for us. But can you find an Alleluia in a cancer diagnosis? Do you find an Alleluia in the death of somebody that you loved a lot? Do you find an Alleluia in your marriage that's fallen apart? Do you find an Alleluia when your kids are driving you absolutely crazy? Do you find an Alleluia when the fuel prices are going up and you're mad? Do you find an Alleluia when your life's out of control and you can't do one dang thing about it? You see, that's the difference between us and the world. If we're only Alleluia-ing when things go our way, it is worth little to nothing. And all we need to do is look at that tomb and say, really, that's kind of where life takes us most of the time. And so what does our faith look like at times like that? And so I think that the annual season of Easter that we have, we really need that because sometimes it's easy for us to get stuck in the tomb. And you know what? If you stay in there too long, it stinks. It's deadly. We know the story about Jesus so well. We know it so well. We can tell the story. It's not hard for us at all. But I think that because we know it so well, familiarity breeds contempt. And so it doesn't shock us anymore. And so as I was driving to Strawberry this morning, I thought, you know, if I went up to Northeast Iowa, to the cemetery where my dad is buried, and went up there today, and the grave was empty, I would be shocked. But that's what we're talking about. This isn't just a pious thought. And as I've said on each of the nights that we've gathered together, that what we're celebrating is not history. History is something nice to observe, and you put up a plaque, and you go back and live your life kind of unattached to it. No, what we're celebrating is the mystery. The mystery. Simon Peter and John going in the tomb and go, my God is closer here. I don't know where he went. Like going to your teenager's room. The bed's still not made, clothes are on the floor, but she ain't there. It's a shock. But it's learning to believe in what we don't see. You know, that's a challenge in the world nowadays because, by golly, we want the facts and we want the truth and we want to Google everything until we understand everything. You will never understand the resurrection. I won't either. Here today, gone tomorrow. But it was a promise. It was a promise. And that's what you and I believe in. That's why we gather together today. And so it's because of that promise that in the midst of the challenges and the pain and the stench and the struggle of life, we're still hallelujah people. That's what people are going to look at us and say, boy, I don't know about those folks, but they got something that I want. There have been many examples in my life that I think about. One that came to mind last night as I was thinking about this was, do you remember, it was about 8 or 9 years ago at least, when a gunman went into that Amish school and killed all the kids? Do you remember that? And do you remember what the congregation did? They publicly got on TV and they said, we forgive him. Because we have to. We forgive him. We don't hold any malice. Now, am I there? No. Are you there? You have to decide that for yourself. But that's an hallelujah people. That's what this means. And so, that's why it's okay to have the lilies and the grass in your carpet and the candy and the nice ties and the new shoes. We need that. Not just on Easter. But whenever we need an hallelujah, that's what we need to do. We need to haul out the lily. We need to find little things that give us signs of hope in our day-to-day. That's really why we dress up on Sunday, folks. It's kind of like, oh my God, I need this. I wear different shoes on Sunday. You never know, I wear the same thing all the time. I wear different shoes on Sunday. My Sunday shoes marks it as a different day. We need a sign of something different. And the sign of contradiction, the sign of something different that you and I are called to be, is nothing less than the sign of hope. So, we are an Easter people and
hallelujah.
We are an Easter people and
hallelujah.
We are an Easter people and
hallelujah.
Amen.